Jam and a Town Called Malice. Before that, Kajagoogoo and Too Shy at 13 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Our third guest presenter of the week is the English osteopath Rachel Dickens. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Rob.
I see you nodding your heads to Kajagoogoo there. A bit of a Kajagoogoo fan on the quiet, are we?
Completely not, but I am very much a Jam fan, as well you know.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, you brought your own coffee with you this morning. Is there something wrong with the Riviera Radio coffee?
Yeah, because I was listening to yesterday when you were talking with Al and you were talking about the advantages of UHT milk.
Yeah.
And I just can't.
I've been
in France 17 years. I just can't do the UHT milk. Yeah, it tastes like plastic. So I'm also a Nescafe girl, so I like my cheap coffee with proper milk.
You're a Nescafe girl?
Yeah, I don't like the strong coffee you get from the machines.
Okay, yeah, it's a bit of a novelty for me if I have ever had a cup of Nescafe. It's kind of, English coffee. Yuck. Okay, right now, most young girls sort of dream of being vets or nurses or, saving the world, but you woke up one morning and decided to be an osteopath.
I did, actually. Well, I didn't really wake up one morning. I actually had a really bad accident that left me without being able to use my legs, both my legs. And so I was in sort of a temporary paralysis state and I was in a hospital in London and they weren't doing anything for me at all. And at that time, you know, I've always been very optimistic, and that time you're lying in bed thinking, I'll never walk again, I won't be able to do this. It's all very negative, and then my mother took me to see an osteopath, literally took me out of the hospital to see an osteopath, and I came out walking, and pretty much I then decided that's what I want to do.
Right.
I mean, I was actually already doing really well in a career. I was the youngest ever publisher within the Daily Mail group at the time. So I was flying high for my age. And then I gave everything up and went back to a medical school for 5 years and trained in order to do to someone what somebody did to me, because they gave me my optimism back.
I will just point out at this juncture that I have seen Rachel occasions on Friday nights where her legs don't work.
That is so unfair.
5 years training, that's pretty tough. Well, what does it involve?
Well, it involves, it's pretty much a 9 to 5 study, which was completely different to my other universities, which was some of them were like 5 hours a week. This was pretty much a full-time. You do the whole of the medical course. We spend very little time on pharmacology because we don't prescribe drugs. But unlike the medical degree for doctors, where they spend 3 weeks on the musculoskeletal system, we spend 4 years purely just on the musculoskeletal system. We are just anatomists. We know our Grey's Anatomy very, very well, and we have a deep understanding of that. Plus, before we're allowed to qualify, we have to do 2,000 clinic hours, which means that you're working 9 to 5 all through the week, and then your lovely look-forward holidays are taken up with clinic time, because you have to get your 2,000 supervised clinic hours in before you're allowed to qualify.
So it's the old knee bones connected to the thigh bone?
It is, absolutely. As an osteopath, one of our principles is the body is a unit. We see the whole body as working as a functional unit.
Now, you've been in France for 17 years.
I deserve a medal.
I've been here for 32 years.
You deserve two.
I've got one from Prince Albert.
I know, I've known your 20th year.
How difficult is it getting your qualifications recognised in France?
Well, when I started, I deliberately came over on October 2001 because I knew that that's when the accreditation for osteopaths in France was actually made legal. Before that, all osteopaths in France were illegal. And so I came over literally 5 days after they'd legalised it, because that was my intention. And they really didn't know what they were doing, so it was actually quite easy for me. I just had my letters translated. We were actually better qualified than the French osteopaths. The French osteopaths only have a 3-year course, so we were better qualified, and also we have a government that supports us, and we have it's like the Ordre des Médecins here. We have the General Osteopathic Council, so we can be struck off in the UK, so it was pretty plain sailing. How it's going to be in future, I don't know, because at the moment there's a reciprocal agreement between qualifications amongst European countries. So this might make it a little bit more difficult for me to recruit other people. I'll just have to go maybe for English-speaking people, I might have to recruit in Ireland, maybe. Although my current two incredible osteopaths that I have working full-time in the clinic, They both did their course in England because the courses are much better in England. But they're both French, so, you know, they're French nationals.
Well, yeah, we went into the Brexit conundrum in depth on Monday, so I think we'll stay away from that one this morning. But since you've been here, the business has been going from strength to strength. You just start off in one small room and now you're branching out.
Yeah, we're growing and growing. And 2 years ago, we became a government-approved clinic as well, which means that we are now licensed to provide all the yacht crew with their medical certificates, which is a really, really good new key to in our armour. And it's made a good difference because now pretty much, as we're the only people that do that based in Antibes, all the yacht crew will come and file through our doors. So they'll come and do their medical certificate, which they have to repeat every 2 years on principle. But they'll also see all the other things that we do. So that's been something we've been working on for many years. And we're really pleased that we've got that extra branch now.
Is it fair to say that sort of most people, when they've got an ache and pain, you know, they don't automatically still think about osteopathy? They'll go to the doctor, get pills, a few anti-inflammatories, calm it down, but the problem just doesn't go away, does it?
I know. I mean, we have this kind of saying that obviously people have to pay to come and see us, but most people get a lot of their money back either through their mutuals. They pay either part or full, but a lot of people get it for free because they get completely reimbursed by their insurance companies. And we have this saying, we're saying, if it was free, would you come? And I think maybe it's the fact that in France in particular, healthcare is for the most part, you know, very, very moderately priced and so accessible. And people really, really balk at actually having to pay for the expertise type of or specialism that we offer. Mm. But, you know, we have a core base of patients. We do coming up, I know, 5,000 sessions a year. So we are pretty busy where we are, but I would really love more patients to come quicker. Because it makes our job much easier and it will save them money as well.
Yeah, and some people have a fear of being cracked. They don't actually like the... But it's a lot more than that, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
You don't just crack people's backs.
We don't just crack people's backs, and we don't just work on backs as well. We work on the entire body. As I said before, we have a deep understanding of anatomy, so we can work on all parts of the body and on all people. I mean, we work on three-day-old babies.
Yeah, so you do some baby cranial massage. Is that what it is?
Well, we do cranial osteopathy, which is... We don't have to do it on babies. We do it on everybody, but for babies, obviously, we're not going to crack their backs.
Even big babies.
Lots of big... Yeah, we do have tears in the office, actually, quite often, and not always mine. So first of all, if people don't want themselves cracked, we have lots of other methods of achieving the aim. Cracking is spinal manipulation. We get the results very quickly. If someone doesn't like it, then we just take a little bit longer and we work with patient acceptance.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an ongoing knee problem. I came to see you a couple of years ago with that, and you put some rock tape on it, which really helps, actually.
Yeah, rock tape rocks.
So what does that do then?
Well, rock tape really works on the movement rather than the structure. And so and a lot of the movement in the body is via the fascia. And fascia is a thing that if you have sort of a steak, if you're eating, and it's that silvery film that you kind of scrape off the surface, it's a very thin, translucent film, and you throw it away. And that's what we call fascia. And all the way around the body, the whole of the body is a network of fascia. It's over all, surrounding every single muscle, ligament, tendon, all your organs, and it all connects with each other. This is our body as a unit principle. And everything comes from the fascia. And so if something is a little bit stuck or move a muscle chain or part of the muscle isn't moving, then it's usually because the fascia is bound down on it. So what we do with the tape, we use the tape as a almost like a decompression onto that muscle, so it lifts the muscle or it lifts the fascia off the muscle, which will encourage better movement. Yeah. When people are we deal with a lot of elite athletes, and if you look on the television for the big sporting things, a lot of these guys have rock tape on them. And in the competition part, they're actually, in some competition tournaments, they're banned from actually using the tape because it will give them that much of an advantage.
Yeah, because the tape that you strapped me up with had a Union Jack motif on it, which was very useful because I got to the Channel Tunnel and the customs officer said, prove to me you're British. I just showed him my knee.
Funny enough, whenever I have French patients with rock tape, I insist on putting the Union Jack tape on them as well.
The Full English Breakfast Show, I was mentioning in the first hour of the show that Dad's Army has been celebrating its 50th anniversary. So we'll play a clip from that show this morning. In this bit, the Home Guard has just captured some German soldiers.
Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Come here.
Hi.
Jones.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jones. A little conference here.
Yes, sir.
Wilson. The armed escort can't get here before morning, so we've got to keep these chaps all night.
Well, in that case, we really better chop their buttons off.
No.
Put that thing away. Now, I'm going to have a word with these prisoners.
You can't speak any German, can you, sir?
They'll know by the tone of my voice that I'm in charge. They recognise authority when they see it. Yeah. You better come with me.
Yes, boss.
Now, patient!
Oh, I say, they're awfully well disciplined, aren't they, sir?
Nothing of the sort. Just slavish, blind obedience. not like the cheerful discipline of our own jolly Jack Tars. I tell you, Wilson, they're a nation of automatons, led by a lunatic who looks like Charlie Chaplin.
How dare you compare our glorious leader with that non-Aryan clown?
Okay,
I am making notes, Captain. And your name will go on the list. And when we win the war, you will be brought to account.
You write what you like. You're not going to win this war.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, we are. Whistle while you work. Hitler is at work. He's half army, so's his army. Whistle while you...
Your name will also go on the list. What is it?
Don't tell him, Pike.
Pike.
And still being shown on BBC Two television as a mark of its longevity. What makes you laugh then, Rachel?
Oh, good
Apart
question.
From me, of course.
Oh, obviously. I like watching comedy stuff on YouTube. That makes me laugh.
You can get anything on YouTube, really, can't you?
Yeah. Just like comedy snippets and people being very clever and quite sardonic. That makes me laugh.
What do you think about laughter as a medicine? We had an eminent cardiologist in here a couple of weeks ago, and he said laughter is the best medicine.
I listened to that interview. It was fascinating.
Yeah. He said he sings to his patients.
Absolutely.
Morning, Professor Saudi.
It was so beautiful. Funny enough, I sing to my patients.
Do you really?
I do, yeah. And
jam songs?
No, I usually sing the thing where I say, can you feel it, can you feel it, can you feel it? And then we go, ow, like that when they go, ow. You know, it's all about mental projection. And if you're feeling well or you're thinking well, you are feeling well. And this is actually quite interesting, and it might sound a bit mental, but if I'm with a patient, I've got my hands on a patient, and I'm thinking about, oh, what I'm going to have for dinner or where I'm going that night, my patient doesn't get better half as well as if I'm, when I'm in with my hands on the patient, I'm actually feeling the muscles, feeling the fascia, feeling the dysfunction and really willing it to be better.
Why don't you invite them round for dinner as well?
You know me, I come under a fake name on Facebook. I try to keep a private personal life. But the thought of me, my thoughts actually impact on my patients. I mean, I haven't done any, you know, research on it, but just from sort of empirical thoughts and stuff, it absolutely makes a difference.
Right, okay, interesting. Now, something we're going to talk about a bit later is air conditioning, because that was really interesting when we were doing the prep for the show. You were telling me about the effects air conditioning can have on the body, and that's really fascinating stuff. So that's coming up after the news, and you're going to read the sports news for us this morning. Al did really well. He got 8 out of 10 yesterday.
Oh, I've seen that you've given me the list, and I've seen there's a few foreign names in there, so I'm going to do my best.
Break them up phonetically.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Now, here's Rachel with the sports news.
Thank you. So this is to get more than 8.5 out of 10,
okay.
Yeah?
Go slowly.
Cricket. The first test between England and India starts at Edgbaston today, with spinner Adil Rashid named in the England side for the first time in 2 years. Rashid's selection has been controversial, as he's only previously said he was principally interested in limited overs cricket only. Former England players Jeff Boycott and Michael Vaughan have been critical of the selection, but the player says he doesn't care what they think. Play starts at noon, French time.
Pretty good. Are you a big cricket fan?
No. Well, I'm good at the tea in the pavilion.
Yeah. get quite a lot of cricketing injuries. I bet they need an osteopath's attention.
Everybody needs an osteopath, Rob. You know that. Football. Rumours of discontent in the Manchester United dressing room continue, with manager Jose Mourinho cutting a somewhat disgruntled figure over the past month. Mourinho has been publicly critical of some of his players, and some sections of the press are suggesting that he might be looking for an exit from the club. United play a friendly game against Real Madrid later today in their final US tour match.
He's not a happy bunny at the moment. He's a Jose, by the way, not Jose, because he's Portuguese. So Jose.
I know even less about football than I know about cricket. Rugby union. The Scotland coach Gregor Townsend has extended his contract until 2021. Scotland have been much improved under Townsend's guidance and have won 9 of their last 14 test matches. Townsend said it was a privilege to be working with such a hard-working group of quality players and is delighted to be extending his involvement with the national team.
I bet the osteopath's couches are full of rugby players.
Actually, we do a lot of rugby players.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. It's brutal, isn't it?
I actually used to be one of the osteopaths for the England team as well. Mm. Yeah, in Twickenham, when I lived in London. Tennis. Andy Murray battled back from a set down to beat Mackenzie McDonald in the first round of the Washington Open in only his 4th competitive match since returning from hip surgery. Murray won 3-6, 6-4, 7-5 and will now meet fellow Briton Kyle Edmund in round 2. The former world number one, said it had been tough mentally to get through the match and he felt that his movement was fine.
So what do tennis players suffer from? Knees and shoulders?
Well, there is a thing called tennis elbow.
I was going to say that. Just ruined my joke.
Sorry.
I don't think you get tennis elbow from playing tennis, though, do you? Or do you?
Well, you do, actually, because it's a repetitive strain injury your tendon here. I'm pointing, which probably doesn't look good on the radio.
Okay, it's pretty good. I mean, you could be very good with practice.
Thank you. How much? Go on, give me my score.
Well, I mean, a couple of minor blips in there, so I'm going to have to give it 7.5.
Really? That little?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Well, got 8.
I thought he got 8.5.
Was it 8.5?
Yeah, he got 8.5.
I make up as I go along. But no, it's pretty good. Yeah. It's a close-run thing.
OK, I do have some other sports news.
Go on.
The Mountains to Monaco fundraising cycle team arrived safely back in Monaco a few weeks ago, having cycled over lots and lots of Italian and French Alps.
A few weeks ago? Has it taken that long to recover?
Well, I was their supporter. On the team. No, I did it in the car, and that was really exhausting. Seriously, driving up those coals, you know, a 20-kilometre ascent was really tough in a car.
Yeah.
These guys did brilliantly, and they raised, for my charity, they raised over £45,000. And they're Monaco, 14 Monaco-based guys, and it was organised by Gareth from Levmet.
OK, and your charity is...?
Supporting Wounded Veterans I'm on the committee. I'm the medic lead for that wonderful charity.
And you take them skiing every year, don't you?
We do. It's an incredible charity because it's a proper charity in the fact that everybody works for free. Everyone volunteers. We don't pay a board of directors. You know, money that we raise goes directly to the end user or that aim. And what we do, we take 26 wounded veterans, medically discharged, British mainly, but we do take other nationalities. And these are guys that have been... who are medically discharged from the army, but they're not really living their civilian life. And they're kind of in the grey zone. And these are the guys that do slash, you know, they do try to commit suicide. And we do lose them almost every week.
That's
we lose
tragic,
another
it really
thing. It's a post-traumatic stress injury that is just so debilitating for them.
And there's some terrible injuries. I mean, we're talking about amputations, people going blind, you know, losing large parts of their faces.
But when you have a physical injury, it's easier to get sympathy from people and people make allowances for that. The guys with the mental health issues, well, first of all, there's hardly any support in the UK because there's so much need for it. And some people have to wait 6 months for their first appointment when they're back in the NHS for their mental health team. And, and the physical injuries, it's so much easier. The guys with the amputees are, you know, they're almost considered, well, they are considered heroes, but the guys with the mental health issues, it's a very hidden injury and they suffer the most. So we take them skiing. I bring up the medic team, and we hopefully send them home with the same injuries they came with and no more. And then after that, the charity gives each one a mentor, which is where the magic happens, and they get a mentor checking in with them every week. And we've also set up the first veterans only pain management clinic, which is just an incredible thing I can talk about for hours on.
Mike says you get 9.5. Mike, who was here on Monday, said much better than me.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate your support.
Do you like the heat?
No. But what I did is, like, yesterday I spent the whole day in the Gorge du Verdon, and the water was so cold.
Yeah.
It was almost too cold to stay in for more than 3 seconds. It was just delightful.
That's where you've got to be, in the water.
Absolutely.
It's really important to keep well hydrated in these conditions.
Not so much the hydration. Well, hydration is good, but it's the salts, because you're sweating out your salts, and you don't want to take in too much water, because then it makes the salts more and more dilute.
Now, this is interesting, because I remember when we went on a school trip to Paris when I was about 11, it was baking hot. It was one of those really hot Parisian days in the middle of the summer, and everybody was tongues are just hanging out, you know. And we went to a restaurant which had been pre-organized, and there's about 25 kids, and we all had an omelette. And the teacher said, now, because it's so hot, you're losing lots of salt, so make sure you put plenty of salt on your food. And of course, everyone tipped about half a cellarful of salt on their omelette, and that made it even worse.
Well, yeah, there's a certain ratio of sort of salt to water and salts and sugar. I tell you the best thing, if people are feeling really lethargic, obviously the heat does take it out of you, but if you have got nothing else near you, you just make a solution with 1 litre of water, 1 tablespoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of sugar.
And a dash of vodka.
And a dash of vodka. Or alternatively, another thing is get some lemonade or some Coca-Cola, let it go flat or boil it up, let it cool, and that is a classic rehydration solution.
Oh, OK. Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. 10 to 9, the Full English Breakfast Show. Rachel has picked out a couple of newspaper stories that we're going to have a look at in a couple of minutes' time. But so first of all, as you said it...
Thank you.
We'll play it. Full English Breakfast Show. Rachel's picked out some newspaper stories from today. What's caught your eye?
Oh, there's two things that have caught my eye. The first one, obviously, I'm looking at the dailymail.co.uk. The first one is in the health section. It's called, "Is Instagram Ruining Your Health?" And it says that studies that people are more likely to become fussy food eaters and are more depressed if they use the app daily. However, the answer really is, to the question, is Instagram ruining your health, is yes, because when you're using Instagram, invariably you're looking down, and we have this condition called text neck, and I've actually bought a little diagram of how much pressure is on people's necks.
Yeah, not just Instagram, it's all social media, because you're looking down.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely everything, because people,
a word for it.
No, there's a statistic. I think it's like 79% of people have their phones with them all day apart from 2 hours of their waking day. So people are having their phones with them all the time. They're looking down. And if you look down at about a 45-degree angle, which most people will do, it's the equivalent of having a 23 kilograms on that little part of your neck. And that's the only part of your body that's attached to your head. And it's a very, very small bone. And there's so much pressure. Look, it's great for osteopaths, hey? We are making a lot of business from it.
But it's shocking. I mean, you know, we seem to have lost the art of conversation, because wherever you go now, people are just buried in their phones, aren't they?
Oh, it's a different way of communicating, isn't it? And funnily enough, we've actually set up some workshops called Smartphone Poor Posture. And we do workshops where we work with families and groups of family to try to get them out of this addiction. Because you can't just say to somebody, stop doing it, especially to the kids, because they've grown up this way. But we work with families to give them different ideas, what we know have worked with other patients, in order, you know, phone-free Friday. You have a basket by your front door, and you, after the first hour when you get in from school, you put all your phones in the basket, and including the parents as well. Because the parents are, you know, just walking down the street or at home on their phones, texting, checking stuff on the internet the whole time. And there's nothing sadder than to see a mum pushing the child in the pram, and the child looking up at the mum, and the mum's looking at the phone. It's heartbreaking.
Still sends a shiver up my spine, that one. This morning's three in a row, chosen by Rachel Dickens, the English osteopath. Labby C phrasing inside so strong. Alicia Keys, Girl on Fire, and Pink Floyd, the full fat version of The Wall. Another brick in the wall, parts 1, 2, and 3. Why those three?
Well, the first two, they're quite, you know, they're quite empowering, motivating songs. And, you know, being a woman in business in France, sometimes things are tough. And when tough decisions have to be made, obviously I ask advice from the people I feel who are best able to give it to them. I have a mentor, business mentor, and I also mentor others, actually. But the other thing I need to change my environment and put a different positive vibe or a strength vibe through it. And obviously this is something you can do through music. So I find, you know, being a woman with sort of conditioned limiting beliefs, I find that this type of music surrounding me will add to aid me to make a tough decision.
Interesting you should mention that, because so we've had some representatives from the Professional Women's Network of the Côte d'Azur on the show a couple of times over the last few months. Anna, and I forget the other lady's name, I'm sorry, come to me in a minute, but they were sort of saying, you know, it's still not easy for women in the world of business. And do you still encounter a lot of sexism in your job?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's tough. We're in business, we're a minority, because as I said, with the conditioned limiting beliefs, that we feel that we can only go so far and then we have to withdraw. It's really tough. I have come across, a few years ago, my bank phoned me up. Now, I was single, I have a mortgage and I have two business accounts and things like that. My bank phoned me up and asked to speak to my husband about my account. And I'm like, well, it's my name on the account. Like, no, madam, but, you know, pretty much don't worry your pretty little head about it. And they insisted I spoke to my husband. I said, I don't have a husband. And it's like, ooh, you know. And I just thought, oh, my God, I've zoomed back into the 1950s. I mean, literally, I went around there the next day and absolutely, let's just say, I don't think that I would make that mistake again.
Do you think that's a particularly French thing? It's funny you should say that, because a couple of weeks ago, our bank phoned out. She said, "Mr., you've got your joint account is overdrawn. So we'll talk to my wife about it. It's in her name, you know."
I think it might be a French thing. I don't have any experience of any other countries. I don't think this would happen in the UK.
What about Pink Floyd? Did you have any particularly sadistic teachers at school? I know I did. I mean, corporal punishment was all the rage then. You used to get beaten on a regular basis.
I never did, Rob, because I was a really, really good student. Yeah. I do. I have this, you know, my brain is wired in a special way that I have a photographic and a sound memory. The sound memory more prevalent than the photographic memory, and so I sailed through school so easily. I went to three universities. I was a scholar at one of them. I mean, I never found education difficult, and this is why I chose the song.
SWAT.
Well, I wasn't a SWAT. I was the one. Everyone. I was the absolutely a big pain for the teachers.
You didn't get punished for that, because we used to get, beaten at the drop of a hat for talking in class, or, you know, coming with the wrong books or anything, any excuse. It was.
I was an utterly charming child, Rob.
Oh, lucky you.
But my brother has severe dyslexia, and he, you know, went through school and was in thicko class and because they just didn't understand the way his brain was wired. And he hated school. He came out the moment he possibly could. I mean, he's incredibly intelligent and has a major business and he's, you know, got a load of houses, drives a Bentley. He's doing really good. And this is my thing, is that I'm really, really got strong views on education, how they, at the moment, they value people like me, whose brain's wired that way, more than they value people like him, and that's what's wrong. And we shouldn't just, you know, value learning repetitive information. We should value kindness and support and caring and all those things that make a valuable human being.
A couple of messages. Sharon says, really enjoying hearing about Rachel's life, but you'll need a month, not 2 hours.
That's true. Hi, Shazza.
Can we say hello to all the team at Blue Water, please? Done. Over in Malta, we have the Davis family listening. And Charlie says you only get 6 out of 10 because you didn't say you make him laugh.
Oh, that's my little godson. Hello, Charlie.
And Christine says, very impressed with Rachel. I've made my appointment for my husband for his hip on Saturday.
Oh, thank you, Christine.
So you better get that sorted out.
Well, I work on Saturdays, so depending on which clinic she's booked it in, he might even get me.
Okay, a couple more emails to mention. Rachel is an inspiration as well as having such high professional standards. She shows how to build up such a strong local reputation, and she's a riot. She helped me establish my therapy practice when I arrived here. Who could that be from?
I have no idea.
That's from Gavin Sharp, our local
lovely Gavin.
Therapist.
Yeah, Gavin worked with us as our in-house counsellor, and he is just incredible as a counsellor. So we were really pleased that we had him in our team.
And Andrew says, hi, Rachel, I could have done with you to look after me when I was at school. I was bullied and tortured mentally every day for being gay. I was the bottom of the thicko class, and now I run a travel agency, have a lovely partner and a wonderful home. So two fingers to the education authority who were responsible for that.
Hear, hear. Absolutely. Good for you.
Thankfully, I think attitudes have changed somewhat since you were at school, Andrew. Is that a fair comment?
Well, I don't know. I mean, kids bully. I think they always will bully.
Kids
but
will be kids,
it's just the fact that, you know, we should be valuing other characteristics in people rather than just learning sort of repeated facts. Mm.
And Gilly says, I'm glad you said that about sexism in France. When I was in France, I used to get bank letters addressed to Monsieur Julien rather than Miss Gillian and asked if my husband could come in to arrange my mortgage.
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? You know, it's shocking, but, you know, you just have to get on with it and do the best you can.
OK, right, let's move on to air conditioning, because when we were prepping the show a couple of days ago, you said to me that it's amazing what air conditioning does to the body, and I suppose lots of people are using it at the moment. So what does it do to the body?
Well, the body likes to be cool, and the body can quite happily function warm. But what the body doesn't like to do is to have one muscle or one chain of muscles that is half cold and half warm. And when that happens, let's say, for example, you're in bed at night, because this is usually where it happens, you're in bed at night, you've got your air con on, and it's blowing maybe on your neck, which might be a very exposed part. And so half your neck is nice and cool, but the other half, which is on the pillow with all your body heat on it, is still quite warm. And it's just the two together. And so you wake up in the morning and your whole neck has gone like that, and it won't move. Mm. And that's because it's because the difference between the hot and the cold in one muscle. Again, we just get cooled out all the time, especially on the yachts. The yachts, they're air conditioning. Honestly, you go on these yachts and it's like going into a fridge, which is brilliant for the first 3 minutes, but then you become acclimatized to it, so it doesn't really feel that different. It really affects people's necks.
Right, so there is truth, because, I mean, there's been a lot in the press about people complaining about they get aches and pains when it's cold and the rest of it, so there's actually some truth in that.
Well, aches and pains when it's cold, it's usually, again, the humidity. Mm. So, for example, down here in the south of France, we have very dry winters.
Not last year, we
didn't. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, some winters accepted. But then the advantage is we get lots of snow, so, you know.
Yeah.
But if you've got arthritis, it's best, you do much better in a dry, cold climate than you do in a wet, cold climate. Apart from, like, Valbonne, for example, is very humid down here, very damp, and people with arthritis will suffer more when they live in those conditions. So when they say the cold gets to their bones, it's actually really the cold and the humidity that gets to their bones.
When I was having my knee scanned a couple of weeks ago, a bit of arthritis was showing up, and he goes, don't worry about it. Everyone's got a bit of arthritis.
Absolutely. Arthritis starts in the body. It's general wear and tear, orthoarthritis. And it starts in the body age 35. You usually start to feel it around 55.
But it's really crippling for people who've got acute arthritis. And
it's a really crippling thing. And the worst thing is there used to be this fabulous drug, massively strong anti-inflammatory, which used to really, really help people. And then it had an unfortunate side effect in some people where it was giving them heart problems. Well, it was killing them, actually. And so they took it off the market. It was called Vioxx. And they took it off the market.
Oh, yeah, there were big problems with that.
There was big problems, but not for everybody. And no. For those that really worked well with it, they then didn't have access to it. And it was quality of life just diminished.
Yeah.
We did a lot with arthritis, but we can't change necessarily the disease process at the time, but we can help the muscles to and the body to manage it. So we have our repetitive clients that we see every month just to help them manage.
And what's the difference between arthritis and rheumatism?
Well, one's an autoimmune disease.
Okay.
They're badly named. It's like osteopath. Osteopath is a really badly named profession. But they're both called arthritis, but one's an autoimmune condition where the body is actually, it's a disease where your body is, you know, trying to eat itself, as it were. And the other, osteoarthritis, is just general wear and tear.
Lovely, isn't it, getting old?
Yeah.
Now, you lead an active life, one should say. It was flitting here and there.
I was going to say, I didn't know what was coming there.
You've got a guilty conscience. tell us a couple of anecdotes about, you know, those you've treated and what for.
Oh, well, I would, God, you know, I would love to. And a couple of people have said to me, oh, you should write a book about the experiences you have here.
Patient confidentiality, but you can't,
we can't
mention names.
But absolutely, we can't. But, you know, we're incredible because we get invited into the sort of the inner circle of all these amazingly powerful and successful people. I mean, I've treated presidents of some very, very big, I'm talking like the biggest kind of European countries. We treat politicians, we treat royalty. We get invited into their
places. Their heads as well.
What, the heads of
politicians? Change their thought processes.
Well, no, we just do whatever they need, because we're professional, Rob, and discreet, and we do rock stars, supermodels, we do Formula One drivers,
radio presenters.
we pretty much do everyone, and it's just, and we get invited onto their yachts and into their houses because a lot of these people we do call outs for, and that's lovely because we get to go on the yachts, which means that we get the little tender drive out to the yacht, which is the best thing because in this heat, you know, you get a bit of breeze. Okay, it's full of pollution, but
still catching the UV though.
Yeah, but it's only for like 10 minutes, but it's still the breeze that you get. Then you go into the yacht and we get shown, because owners of yachts really want to show off their yacht and they take us all around. We always know where we're going to end up working because it's pretty much the same in every yacht. But we let them show us around and we see all their tastes and all their little design things. It's just incredible. Then we have one-on-ones with these people, which, you know, are usually quite inaccessible. And interestingly, the dynamics change because when you're a very successful person, you're in control the whole time. It's you making the decisions. When we get invited on to be with these people, we have to take control. And so we see them where we're taking control and they're kind of taking a back seat, as it were. And then obviously they're just in their pants too. And, you know, so the whole dynamic's changed.
Diamond encrusted pants though, surely.
I do have some funny stories about pants, but that might be for another show. But it's just incredible. And it's such a privilege to be able to, you know, meet a lot of these people who are successful because they are absolutely brilliant.
Well, that could be quite a funny coffee table book, couldn't it? Famous people's pants.
Famous people in their pants, yeah. There's been some uncompromising situations. And can I just say this to the yacht crew out there listening? When you do come and see us, you know, please put your pants on.
What, does they turn up without their pants on?
A lot of yacht crew go commando. I know, it's shocking. And apparently the reason is that the yachts actually buy and provide all their clothing, but they don't provide underpants, so some of them don't wear
them.
Shocking. I know it is. And, so,
and that's the only reason they don't wear pants, because they're not provided as
a
standard issue.
Pretty much.
Well, that's just a cheapskate. You can't afford to buy your own pants.
You know, it's not every yacht crew, but it's only yacht crew that I ever come across. And I'm there, and we do the case history, then I just do up my notes on the computer, because I said, just undress, you know, take your shorts off. And then I look back, and I say, put your shorts back on.
Yes. We'll send them down to Primark. I mean, you can buy 3 pairs for about €5.
I just get them to put their shorts back on and try to erase the image from my mind. It's not all fun and games being osteo, let me tell you that.
No, I don't know how we got onto the subjects of pants anyway, but here we are. Anything else to add apart from people who want information should go to EnglishOsteopath.com?
Look, come and see us. Even if you feel that you don't need to see us, everybody does. We find pain that you haven't, that hasn't yet sort of come out in you. And you can save yourself a lot of pain, a lot of effort and a lot of time if you come and see us. And, you know, usually people come and see us and we just do crisis management. They've got a pain like in their shoulder, neck, whatever. And we get their body back to how it was before the pain started, because we're distracted by the pain. But if we see somebody who's not in pain, we can work all the way around their body and actually make them feel so much better. That's all we ever hear in our clinic, is people saying, oh my God, I can't believe you've done that. Oh, look what I can do now. And oh my, I should have come here earlier. And if that is any message, it's look after yourself. You don't have to come to see us. Go and see your nearest osteopath or even a chiropractor. They're okay too, and just look after yourself and stop texting.
What is the difference between a chiropractor and an osteopath?
About $50,000 a year. in favour of the Cairos.
Really?
How
well, they make more money than Ostia.
Yeah, how many Cairos does it take to change a light bulb? One, but he has to do it 10 times, hence. Right. Yeah. No, we love Cairos. A properly trained Cairo is great. And what Cairos tend to do is they see patients maybe for 5 or 10 minutes, but they see them about 10 times. We see patients for about 30, 35 minutes, and we, on average, see them 3 times.
You could be in the wrong business then.
I know. Oh, we're the nice face of it. But so we get 3 times the fee, and they get 10 times the fee, so therefore they're much, much better paid than we are.
Okay, and finally, what do you like to do in your spare time? We know you're a big dog lover.
I love dogs. I love animals. I like to kayak. I like to kayak a lot. Although yesterday we kayaked and we didn't blow the kayak up enough and it kind of deflated on us when it hit the cold water.
That's one of those groovy inflatable ones.
Yeah, I've got a really good inflatable,
yeah,
actually.
I think you can get those at Decathlon for about 150, 200 euros. Is that?
Yeah, mine was about 500, 600.
Yeah,
so
well, you're earning loads of money though.
Yeah,
I think you can
get a chiropractor would buy one with a motor on it.
But a really good thing to do is you can use one of those and just take it down to Palm Beach and then you can kayak across to the islands.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that a lot, actually. My sister refused to come in with me when I do that, but yeah, we kayak a lot. And the other my other all-time favorite thing I do in the summer is I go watch the fireworks in Cannes or Juan-les-Pins, but we do it by floating in the water on lilos and letting the fireworks explode over us, and we've become like a floating village now, so come and join us.
I'm washing my hair that night.
It's lovely. It really is.
Rachel, thank you very much for coming. Fascinating chat, and lovely to know you've got so many fans and people who appreciate your service.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I thought I'd be really nervous, but actually I'm really enjoying it.
It's been really good. And all the information about Rachel and her osteo services on the website englishosteopath.com. So we've had Mike Mead, the editor of the Riviera Report, Sir Alan Roberts, the blah blah star. I think you've got more fans than him.
Never.
You could start a new band called the.
Well, I'm Blah Blah's,
or something.
I'm Blah Blah's biggest fan.
tomorrow, well, we were due to have Charlie Winston in, but unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, he can't make it.
Do you want me again?
Only if you bring a guitar and sing. But we do have some live music because it's the Diamond Festival taking place at the Théâtre de Verdure in Nice on the 4th of August, and we have a substitute band. They're called Soul Stones. They are playing at the Diamond Festival, and their latest single has already notched up nearly 500,000 streams on Spotify.
Wow, I'll check that out later.
So Soul Stones coming up tomorrow morning between 9 and 10 o'clock. Then on Friday, Mark Desani will be here. We'll be talking about Italian politics, and he will be choosing the theme for Feel Good Friday. Thank you again, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
The local news is brought to you by Mo Bowper, the kitchen, storage and bathroom specialist.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Extremely hot weather will continue across the south of France for at least the next 48 hours, with daytime temperatures forecast to reach 37 or 38 degrees in places this afternoon. On Tuesday, the temperature reached 36 degrees at Carros near Nice, while the mercury climbed to 35 degrees in Antibes. The Var didn't escape the heatwave either, with some places inland seeing temperatures climb to 37 degrees. Nights will continue to be sticky, with lows of just 27 degrees in coastal areas. The advice from authorities is to stay well hydrated, close shutters during the daytime and open them at night, and if you don't have air conditioning, then try to visit a shopping centre or library to cool off. Hardcore physical activity is also not encouraged, and if you have an elderly person living nearby, then try to check up on them to make sure they're okay. The British Prime Minister Theresa May is cutting short her summer holiday in Italy to visit the French President Emmanuel Macron at his Fort Brégançon retreat in the Var. Mrs. May and Mr. Macron will hold a working meeting on Friday, followed by a private dinner, during which the British leader will attempt to persuade the French President to sign up to her Chequers plan for the UK's exit from the European Union. On Tuesday, the British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt appealed directly to France and Germany to try and force the European Commission to accept a sensible and pragmatic Brexit deal. The EU's chief negotiator Michel Barnier has already said it's no use British officials going directly to other European leaders in a bid to get them to put pressure on the Commission, as the 27 are united in their objectives. The situation in the Moulin area of Nice is described as tense today following a third night of clashes between police and youths. Rubbish bins, old mattresses and vehicles have been set on fire over the past 48 hours following a serious scooter accident involving a 25-year-old local man. Authorities say the man was injured after attempting to flee from police. Reports say police have been forced to use tear gas to break up violent protests by a group of some 40 local youths. Large numbers of police have been sent to the area in a bid to restore calm. A 24-year-old man who set fire to several vehicles in Sospel near Montant in the Alpes-Maritimes last week before attempting to run a young woman over will be held in custody for 2 weeks while judges decide what to do with him. Tom Agal is reported to be suffering from mental health problems and had been taking tranquilizers prescribed by a psychiatrist. He told magistrates he'd had a rush of blood to the head before setting light to a number of cars in the village. He's now undergoing further psychiatric evaluation. And the only private villa on the island of Sainte-Marguerite off the Cannes coast is for sale. The villa, which is currently owned by the Indian magnate Vijay Mallya, has been put on the market for 45 million euros. The complex features lush gardens, a castle and several different buildings with ample accommodation for guests. Mr. Mallya is the subject of an extradition request from Indian authorities in connection with a money laundering case. He appeared in court in London on Tuesday. He says he'll be unable to get a fair trial in India. In national news today, the French economy minister has revised down a forecast of 2% growth for 2018. Bruno Le Maire has called on the public to remain patient after growth stalled in the second quarter, making the 2% forecast untenable. Mr. Le Maire has so far refused to issue a fresh forecast, but said the economy had been affected by a number of factors over the past 3 months, including strike action, a rise in the oil price, and trade disputes. He said the government was determined to do everything it could to stimulate growth. And the former president of football's world governing body FIFA has accused Michel Platini, the former head of Europe's governing body UEFA, and the ex-French president Nicolas Sarkozy of being responsible for Qatar's nomination to hold the 2022 World Cup. Sepp Blatter, who's been banned from football for 6 years following a corruption scandal, has accused Mr. Platini and Mr. Sarkozy of political manoeuvring and says there's more information in Chapter 10 of his memoirs My Truth, which was published in May. Last week's Sunday Times newspaper alleged that Qatar broke FIFA rules by running a secret campaign in 2010 to sabotage competing bids. Mr. Platini and Mr. Sarkozy have both denied any wrongdoing. There have been calls for an independent inquiry into the affair, with some experts saying if the allegations are proved, Qatar could have its rights to host the World Cup withdrawn.
The local news, brought to you by Mobalpa, the kitchen, storage and bathroom specialist, offering personalised solutions to your projects at Mobalpa Nice, Le Port, Valoris and Tourette. Visit mobalpa.fr. Mobalpa, as unique as you are. Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Cricket, the first test between England and India starts at Edgbaston today with spinner Adil Rashid named in the England side for the first time in 2 years. Rashid's selection has been controversial as he's previously said he was principally interested in limited overs cricket only. Former England players Geoffrey Boycott and Michael Vaughan have been critical of the selection, but the player says that he doesn't care what they think. Football, rumours of discontent in the Manchester United dressing room continue, with manager Jose Mourinho cutting a somewhat disgruntled figure over the past month. Mourinho has been publicly critical of some of his players, and some sections of the press are suggesting he might be looking for an exit from the club. United play a friendly game against Real Madrid later today in their final US tour match. Here's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. With only a little over a week until the transfer window closes, the Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino says he doesn't expect to bring any new players in. Spurs are the only side from the top six not to buy a single player.
We're going to sure to see what happens in the next few days. If you say we need to sign there, maybe, but with or without injuries, I think. That was our target after finish the last season, to bring some player, to add some player that with quality that can help us on the end to achieve all that we want. But with or without, I think we are working.
So should Pochettino's failure to buy any players worry the club's fans? Not necessarily, says the former Spurs manager and director of football, David Pleat.
Well, there needn't be particularly. I think they've got to look at several things. The fact that the team at the moment, which included nine players, more than any other club in Europe, in the World Cup semi-finals, provided nine players in the semi-finals. So it's not easy to improve those players. And how do you improve with certainty a team that has established itself in the top three in the Premier League in the last three seasons?
Manchester City have signed the defender Philip Sandler from the Dutch side Zwolle. Sandler, who's been capped by the Netherlands at under 20 level, is a product of the Ajax youth system. The 21-year-old centre-back can also play in a holding midfield role. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Rugby union, the Scotland coach Gregor Townsend's extended his contract until 2021. Scotland have been much improved under Townsend's guidance and have won nine of their last 14 test matches. Townsend said it's a privilege to be working with such a hard-working group of quality players, and he's delighted to be extending his involvement with the national team. Finally, tennis, Andy Murray battled back from a set down to beat Mackenzie McDonald in the first round of the Washington Open in only his fourth competitive match since returning from hip surgery. Murray won 3-6, 6-4, 7-5 and will now meet fellow Briton Carl Edmund in round two. The former world number one said it had been tough mentally to get through the match, but he felt that his movement had been fine.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Monaco Marine Mobile Shipyard Programme.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Almarin Seam and the Var. The general situation is high pressure, 1,020 millibars, centred over southwestern France. Winds are variable or southwesterly, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showery, force 3 to 4 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Monaco Marine.
Wherever you are around the globe, we assist you to always keep her at the best. For more information, log on at monacomarine.com.
Pleasure is a serious matter. By Monaco Marine.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
We have an orange heat wave alert still in force. Clear skies and coastal areas. Showers inland later, some of which could be thundery. Light to moderate southerly winds. Temperatures 32 to 37 degrees. That's up to 99 degrees Fahrenheit in places. Overnight lows 26 degrees on the coast, 22 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, heatwave conditions continue tomorrow. Highs of 32 to 38 degrees. A bit cooler on Friday, highs of 30 to 33 degrees. Finally, the US Embassy in London is auctioning off unwanted items following its relocation this year to a $1 billion new facility in Vauxhall. Among the goods up for grabs, a set of vacuum cleaners, all in need of repair, a used car and 1,200 toilet rolls. And none of the items have any official US insignias or historical value. The US Embassy moved from its Mayfair location in January, but the process began in 2008 under George W. Bush due to security concerns. The Department of State has recently posted several dozen unwanted embassy items for auction online, and bidders have until the 8th of August to get their offers in. The loo rolls, which are on sale as a set, are priced as $199. That's a lot of money for a few bog rolls, isn't it? The Independent reported an embassy staff are calling the toilet paper probably a bit above bog standard. Boom, boom, you're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc.